It is good to be back with you here in Kennaway just to share a word in the Gospel. Could we turn, please, this afternoon to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. There are very number of characters in this chapter from which we could preach the Gospel. And it is a chapter that I often turn to. And I don't keep notes of where I've spoken from in the past, but I'm almost sure that I'll have spoken from Mark chapter 5 here and one of the other characters before at Kennaway. But this afternoon we're going to look at Jairus. Mark chapter 5, please, and verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and that she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them that straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Why are we here this afternoon? Why are we in this hall this afternoon? The people that meet in this hall, have they organized this meeting because it's good to come together and enjoy some time together? Are they here because they want to have a time away from their own house? Are they here because it's something that they think that would be good to do and form a habit just to come here and meet together on a Sunday afternoon? You know, I would like to just at the outset say why we are here. We are here because God has commanded us to be here. God has commanded that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is the reason that we are here this afternoon. That is the reason why the people who meet in this hall have arranged this meeting. Because they want to preach the gospel. They want all men everywhere to hear the gospel, and in particular the people in this village. And so this afternoon the gospel message will be preached. A message that is for all. A message that all should hear, but a message that all should respond to. It is a message from God. It's not my message. It's not a religion that has been passed down. It is from God's word, a message. And it is a message that we should all hear, and a message that we should respond to. A message of salvation, a message that is able to change your life. And more so, it is able to change your eternal destiny. And so it is a message that you should listen to this afternoon, and a message that you should take heed to. So in order to present this message, I want to consider three things this afternoon. I want to consider, firstly, the problem that Jairus had. Secondly, I want to consider the remedy that he sought. And then finally, the joy that he achieved. The problem, the remedy, the joy. Jairus' daughter was at the point of death. And I don't know what else he had tried. I don't know if he had visited other people. I don't know if he had sought help from other places. You know, if it was me and my daughter was at the point of death, I would have tried my utmost. I would have sought all the medical people of the day, and I'd have been round all the hospitals and all the places to try and find a solution to the problem. I don't know if Jairus had tried that. I'm sure that he had. But he found out about the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to seek out the Lord Jesus. I don't know if he had heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to make the lame man walk. I don't know if he had heard that the Lord Jesus was able to make the blind man see. I don't know if he had heard that the Lord Jesus was able to cure the leprous man. But somehow he had heard. And somehow he had believed. And he came to the Lord Jesus with great faith. And he came and he knew that if the Lord Jesus Christ was able to come and just lay hands on his daughter, then his daughter would be made whole. Jairus knew that there was nothing that he could do himself. But somehow he had found out about the Lord Jesus. And he had faith that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to meet the need of his daughter. Is that not the position that you and I are in this afternoon? At the point of death. Well, you may look at me and say, but I feel fine. I'm not ill as far as I know. How can you say I'm at the point of death? Do you know, physically, you may not be at the point of death. But if you are still in your sin, then spiritually you are at the point of death. What does that mean? Back in the beginning, God created a garden. A perfect garden. And into that garden he placed Adam and Eve. And they were without sin. They had not broken God's law. And they were in that garden and God was able to come down and have fellowship with them. He was able to come down and enjoy their company. But one law was given. Do not eat of that tree. And Eve was tempted. And they were deceived. And they broke God's law. They ate of the tree that they were told not to. They had broken God's law. And they had become sinners. And God who is holy. And God who is righteous. And God who cannot have sin in his presence. Put them out of the garden and was no longer able to have fellowship with them, was no longer able to walk with them in the cool of the day. And that sin of Adam has been passed down through generation to us today. And the Bible is clear. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so if you are still in your sin this afternoon, if you have still not had your sin forgiven, then you are at the point of death. You're in a precarious situation where if you were to pass out of time and into eternity, then you would be spiritually dead. You would be lost. You'd be facing an eternity of judgment. And you cannot enter into God's heaven in that position. God's heaven is holy. God's heaven is pure. The Bible says that nothing that defileth shall enter in. And if we remain in our sin, it is impossible for us to enter in to God's heaven. Jairus' daughter was at the point of death. My friend, the wages of sin is death. And if you remain in your sin, then it is eternal death, eternal punishment for the sin. The first point, the problem that Jairus had. That brings us on to our second point this afternoon, the remedy. There are so many in our Bible, and they come to the Lord Jesus with a problem. And they go away with having had that problem met. And they go away never to be the same again. In this chapter, we have the woman with the issue of blood. She has a blood condition, and for 12 years, she tried to find a solution. And for 12 years, the Bible says that she spent all that she had, but only grew worse. But yet she comes to the Lord Jesus, and by faith, she touches the Lord Jesus. And immediately the condition which she had left her. She found her solution to her problem in the Lord Jesus. And she was never to be the same again. What about the gentleman that had been at the pool for 38 years? And for 38 years, he was waiting for the solution to his problem. And on a particular day, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. And the man who had not been able to walk for 38 years because he was a cripple, speaks with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus tells him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately, the man was cured. The Lord Jesus Christ met him in his need. What about Legion? Legion was a man who was demon-possessed. The Bible says that he lived amongst the tombs and he was crying and cutting himself with stones. And in order to stop him from harming himself, people had tried to chain him up, but he broke the chains and he continued to cause himself self-harm. And he would rip off his clothes and he would live amongst the dead. But he met the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ met that man in his need, and he cast out the demons. And after he had met the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. All just a few examples. There are so many in the scriptures where people come to the Lord Jesus, and they find the solution to their problem. And they're changed, and they're never going to be the same again. And that is what I want to present to you this afternoon. We've spoken about the problem that exists for you and I, that problem of sin, that problem of breaking God's law, that problem of going against God, and it's a problem that we can do nothing about in ourselves. But I want to present to you this afternoon the Lord Jesus. And I am confident that he can meet you in your need and deal with the problem of your sin. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He did come to deal with men and women. We've thought about some of them already. He did come to feed the 5,000 and lead a good life. He did come to do these miracles. But ultimately, he came for one purpose, and that was to die, and die on the cross at Calvary. God is holy and God is righteous, and he cannot just sweep sin under the carpet. He cannot just forget about sin He cannot just leave it. But God has dealt with sin. God has dealt with sin once and for all. And it was dealt with by the sacrifice of his own son at the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ came. And he led a life, a perfect life, a life in which there was no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ never had to apologize. He never had to retrace a step because he was somewhere he shouldn't. He didn't have to take back words that were spoken out of place. He never had a wrong thought. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, out of heaven, is sinless, perfect, pure, undefiled. The complete opposite from you and I. And yet, after living a perfect life, men wanted nothing to do with him. When men were given the choice, they said, crucify him. They said, away with him. They said, we don't want him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And men, they drove nails through his hands and through his feet. And they lifted him up on that cross to die. He suffered much at the hands of those around him. But that wasn't all that he suffered. For there were 3 hours of darkness on the cross. There was 3 hours where the cross was hid. And God placed upon his own son the sin of the world. God placed upon his own son the punishment for sin. And God's son, in his own body, a body without sin, he bore the punishment that should have been yours and should have been mine. And because the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, gave his life, salvation can be offered to you and to me. And that is the message this afternoon. Salvation without cost, because the cost has been paid in his own son. And today, you can have the forgiveness of sin. You can have your sins forgiven and know heaven as your home if you were to believe in the Lord Jesus. To acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. To acknowledge that there is nothing that you can do yourself. But just place your faith and trust in his Son who has completed the work. My friend, if you do not have Christ, then you have nothing. In verse 35, the servants come and they say, trouble the master no further, because your daughter is dead. They thought that the situation was too bad. They thought that the situation was beyond repair. They thought that there was no hope. I hope you don't think that. As far as your situation is concerned, I hope that you do not believe that there is no hope. I hope that you don't think that the situation is too bad. I hope that you don't believe that your life is too far gone. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There is no one too bad. The situation in your life is not too far gone that you cannot be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is able, and the Lord Jesus Christ is willing. But the reverse also stands. I hope that you don't think that you're too good, that you need not be saved. My friend, the Bible is clear, for all have sinned. You may consider yourself not as bad as your neighbor. You may consider yourself not as bad as someone else, and you might be able to pull out an example. but you cannot say that you've not sinned. God's heaven is perfect, and one sin will keep you out. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is now risen. On the third and on the appointed day, he arose from that tomb in which he was placed. And the Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin. And he has broken the power of death. And today we stand here, and the message is being preached that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you, and he's able to save you to the uttermost, and he's able to give you eternal life by faith in him. And that is true. But take heed that that offer of salvation, that offer of the forgiveness of sin, it is not going to be available forever. Because there is coming a time when the gospel message will cease to be preached. And that hand of the Lord Jesus, which is outstretched, offering you salvation, that hand will be taken away. And it could be taken away by your death. Because after you pass out into eternity, there is no more opportunity. Once in eternity, there is no more opportunity for you to be saved. But also the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we believe his coming is imminent. We believe that he could come at any moment. And he is coming for his own. Those that believe. Those that have had their sins forgiven. Those that have placed their faith and trust in him. And on that day we will go and we will spend eternity with him. And if at the point that the Lord Jesus Christ returns and you're not saved, there will be no more opportunity. In verse 42, we read, "And straightway the damsel arose." The Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and immediately, no hesitation, no waiting period, and the girl comes forth. And she's handed back to her parents immediately. Do you know salvation is not a waiting game? Salvation is not a trial period. We don't ask that you try and believe and come back next week and see how you feel. We don't ask, try and live a good life and see what happens, and maybe with time you will change. Salvation is immediate. There is no waiting period. The moment that you believe and place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus is the very moment that you have salvation. And eternity will have no fear for you, because Christ will be your Savior. I don't guarantee an easy life. I don't guarantee that all your troubles will be taken away. But as far as eternity is concerned, all will be well. And should you experience problems in life, and I'm sure you will, because we all do, some greater, some lesser, you will have a Savior by your side in which you will be able to share your problems. The remedy that Jairus sought, and the remedy that we preach this afternoon, is faith in the Lord Jesus. Believe in him, trusting that his blood and the work at Calvary is all that you need, and asking for forgiveness, you will have salvation. And just finally, for a moment, the joy that he received. Can you imagine the joy that Jairus and his wife had? Can you imagine the joy of having your daughter restored? You thought she was dead. She was dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ restores alive and well and commands that something should be given to eat. Can you imagine the joy, the happiness? If tonight you were to repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that we would be rejoicing in heaven. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner repent. And there will be joy in your own soul to have the burden of your sin lifted. You would feel a great joy. And if you chose to share that with someone else and say that you have had salvation and you are saved and your sins are forgiven, you don't need to share it with somebody else. But if you did, there would be rejoicing. There would be joy. There would be happiness in this hall. We would love to hear your experience. We would love to hear you saying that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There would be joy in this hall. Salvation is a joyous occasion. And you know, it's something that I would utmost recommend to you. Make sure that you've had your sins forgiven. Make sure that you have Christ as your Savior. Make sure that you've got salvation. Because if you pass out into eternity without it, there will be no more opportunity. But this evening, this afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing, and He is able, and He wants you to be saved. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come.